Bells is on the air.
You represent the government of delinquents.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
I knew my rent was going to be late about a week ago. I worked my ass off, but I still can't pay it though. But I got just enough to get off in this club and have me a good time before my time is up. Hey, let's get it now.
Three out of bounds. William Quagamush, wait for it.
You got to let the beat drop a little bit on there. Live in the Blue Ridge Security Solutions studios, BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Check him out today. I don't know why the only time we can't say a golfer's name is when my guy's got a 5-shot lead over every other golfer in our group. But he who must not be named is up 4 shots on every golfer at the PGA Championship.
Yeah. Kevin's band.
His name rhymes with Devin Pisner. And he's got a 4-shot lead at Quail Hollow. Thorbjorn Thunder Bear Olsen with a 2 p.m. tee time. Gary Woodland also at 4 under. He's on the course playing number 12, which is his third hole. Ricky Fowler is in second place in the clubhouse, by the way. He's also on my team. At -3, Brooks Koepka at -3 as well. Chris Stroud at -3. Byung-Hun An is in the clubhouse, 71-69, 200 par. Patrick Reed, Paul Casey, Louis Oosthuizen, that's your guy, at 2 under. D.A. Point shot 73. He got up to 5 over par and then went double bogey, par to finish out.
What is his name?
D.A. Point is
that's
his name.
That's a funny name.
Yeah, he went birdie to get to 5 under. He was a shot off the lead, then went double bogey 6 on 16, double bogey 5 on 17, and then had to scramble. I had to get up and down to make a par on 18. So at least at least he's got that going for him. But he's just outside the top 10. Cut line right now as it stands at the PGA Championship is 4 over par. Among those who currently sit outside the cut line, local golfer Wesley Bryan. I think he went to South Carolina. 5 over. He's 2 over for the day, playing his 4th hole. John Daly is 5 over with 16 to play in his tournament. Adam Scott finished at 5 over par. Justin Rose at 6 over par. He's done. He's not making a cut. Kevin Na is not making a cut. My guy Kyle Stanley still got a couple of shots to make up to make up a little ground there. Luke Donald 7 over, not making the cut. Graham McDowell. At 7 over, he's not making it. Martin Laird, let's see. Anybody else you care about? William McGirt, 7 over. Charles Howell the third, 7 over as well. They're both on the golf course right now. Bubba Watson, 7 over. He shot +6 yesterday. Let's see. Jimmy Walker is +8, not making a cut. Patty Harrington has yet to go. He's 8 over. Jim Furyk is 10 over, and these guys are way back. Ernie Els shot 80 yesterday. He's not making a cut. Phil Mickelson was 79-74. He was 3 over today. He's not making a cut. Tied for 135th. Not a great year for old Phil in majors. Not great.
Not good. Not good at all.
Not ideal.
And yes, Texter, the song does go, I worked my water runs off.
Yes. Yes.
Goodness really, gracious. Really, it's a massive fire hose.
Yes. Your guys are now on the golf course. My guys are all done. So somehow, I don't know how that worked out where we all have opposing tee times, but that's how it is. Matsuyama, even par through 4 holes for you today. Louis Oosthuizen is now in the top 10. He's tied for 7th.
Come on, Louis.
He birdied his first hole of the day. Zach Johnson just teed off, I believe. And Jordan Spieth parred his first hole. So right now, you are at -2. I am at -6.
Pars aren't going to do it, Spieth.
Pars are not going to do it.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
Back to college football, these scouting reports. We looked at Alabama a little bit, these anonymous scouting reports from other coaches, whether we agree or disagree with these takes on them, to what extent are we surprised by some of this stuff. Number 2 in the SI Top 25 is Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say about the Noles?
All right, so they begin with Dalvin Cook. They say it's tough to replace a guy like Dalvin Cook. He was a threat to score every time he touched the ball. I think Clemson fans can nod their heads when they hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're happy he's gone for sure. They continue, we will have to wait and see what 6'3", 211-pound sophomore safety Derwin James looks like coming back from that torn meniscus. In the past, you always had to know where he was on the field. You don't have to change your game plan, but you have to be sure your quarterback knows where he is at all times. You buying that with Derwin?
I'm definitely buying it. He's the guy. He's the straw that stirs the drink. He's the guy you got to know where he is because he's a playmaker.
What about continuing on their defense? Their secondary and D lines are as good as ever, but they've been down at linebacker the past couple of years.
I would agree with that.
You would?
Yeah, I mean, think about even a Matthew Thomas or somebody like that who's had injury issues and things of that nature. They've recruited fine, but they've not developed NFL linebackers. You know, in Florida State's heyday, I referenced the Peter Boulwares and Michael Boulwares and basically the Boulware family, South Carolina natives. They all went to, not to be confused with Ben and Garrett, but I mean, they all went to Florida State back in the 90s and the early 2000s. That Ravens defense had a Boulware on it. I think Peter Boulware maybe went to the Cardinals or something. There were so many of those types of guys. I referenced them because they basically had a pipeline. You want to talk about a factory. They just spit out Boulwares like crazy that were going playing linebacker, being All-Americans at first-round picks at Florida State. So, I mean, from that standpoint, that was part of the allure of Florida State is that they had sideline to sideline, downhill pass rushers. They had those type of guys at linebacker. I don't see that right now from them. Defensively, that's the weakness of their defense, I think, right now, is the linebacker position. My opinion on that.
And the coaches, the anonymous coaches, obviously agree with you. I think they're pretty right, pretty spot on Florida State. I'm with them on Derwin James. Look, James is very talented, and he had a great freshman season. But to just assume that he can pick up right where he left off after a torn meniscus and being out for an entire year, I'm not sure, especially week one, game one against Alabama, if he is going to be, you know, right where he was at the end of his freshman year. So I have some reservations with that. I still think he's going to be elite. Don't get me wrong. So you want to head over to Ohio State now?
Yeah, Ohio State. What do they say about the Buckeyes?
Oh, you're going to love this, Quack.
Great.
You're going to love it. All right. To stop their offense, you've got to stop the run. Makes sense. Then limit their explosive plays in the passing game. JT Barrett took a beating as a junior. If he gets back to where he was 2 years ago, he could win the Heisman Trophy. He's that talented. I'm just gonna let you go on that.
There's no reason to believe this. Now, with the caveat, if he gets as good as he is 2 years ago, okay, that's fine. If you want to,
yeah, but that's a major if.
That's a big caveat.
It's almost an impossible if.
But I agree with the premise, and here's why. If JT Barrett puts up, like last year when we were like, gosh, this guy doesn't look great, he still had a really good stat line. If his stat line looks like it did 2 years ago, where he's basically not throwing picks and he's not fumbling the ball and he's throwing the ball for yards and he's got good playmakers around him, which he did last year and didn't utilize them, something happened offensively last year where they just weren't any good at all. They were basically a horizontal offense. They couldn't stretch the field at all vertically and it hurt him. If they can get back to being a little more balanced and well-rounded with their skill players, he will get the benefit of the doubt from the national media and the Heisman hype. He has to be on your – the more I think about this, he has to be on your Heisman list because even if he's not playing to that level, the media will tell you that he is.
Sure.
And he will get that type of – if he goes 4 touchdowns and no picks in the first game, you'll already start the hype machine. You'll already start it. You'll see it. That JT Barrett's got to be in your top 2 or 3 or whatever it is. People have already decided that he's in that group. And so if the story fits that predetermined narrative, then it will obviously stick and get legs. So I agree with that because Heisman is a lot about story. And the JT Barrett story has already been written. So as long as he has a season that fits the narrative or they can be twisted into the narrative, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt there.
Sticking with their offense, they say their scheme is a bit of a mystery. Are they going to run packages they've run before, or are they going to go all in with new offensive coordinator Kevin Wilson?
That's another thing. Kevin Wilson has a great, and I mean, former head coach at Indiana, was a former offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. He's done a great job with quarterbacks and with offenses. That's exactly what they've needed to get them off the ground. Mm-hmm. This is going to look like Urban Meyer's offense, but probably it will be a little more spread out. It'll be a little more quick throws. It'll be a little bit more quarterback-centric than the system before, where a lot of it was, you know, the running element. Well, Wilson loves to throw.
Will they score a few more points?
They might score some more points.
Than zero?
Than zero. Yeah, they're going to score more than zero. They probably won't get shut out this year. Well, the best argument for JT Barrett as a Heisman contender, other than the fact that the narrative's been predetermined, is that Wilson's there now. Like, yeah. I got a great deal of respect for Kevin Wilson as an offensive mind. He's done a really nice job everywhere he's been.
They talk about the guys that Ohio State lost to the NFL. They say, no disrespect to the guys that matriculated out, but Ohio State's going to be fine. I'm not going to have to write a sympathy card to Urban Meyer. So basically, the talent's still there. And they say on defense, in defensive coordinator Greg Schiano's defense, they do a great job taking the ball away. But the final thing they say, which is really interesting to me about Ohio State, and I want to hear if you agree, the third phase, special teams, is their secret sauce. They play really hard in the kicking game. I don't think they get enough credit for that. We know it's all about the sauce.
I don't. It is about the sauce. I don't know about that because I just haven't spent a lot of time breaking down Ohio State on special teams.
Really? You haven't?
No,
I thought
not.
That's what you did in a lot of your free time.
You know what I know about Ohio State special team? This is not fair.
Uh-huh.
Is that they lost a game?
They lost a game because of special teams.
Because
they
of special
did,
teams.
Yeah.
They always have really good returners. Think about when Urban Meyer was at Florida. He always had good returners. Percy Harvin, good returners. They always won the punting and kicking battle. Last year, I'm trying to see if I can find some good stats on this, just off the top, you know, without looking too far. I don't know. I mean, their punter was really good last year. I remember that. He destroyed the ball and helped them not get beaten by 50 against Clemson because he made Clemson go the length of the field, even when he probably a mere mortal would have given Clemson a short field to work with in some of those offensive series that just went nowhere for them. I don't really know that. I find it hard to have an opinion on it. They're going to be fine on special teams, but it is fascinating that they say they play really hard in a kicking game, and the one time we remember Ohio State's kicking game from last year is the blocked field goal against Penn State.
The punter, Cameron Johnston, who was a Ray Guy finalist, graduated. So that is going to be interesting for Ohio State. They are replacing him.
Yes.
So maybe we'll see if the secret sauce can be the same with new ingredients.
Well done. Well played.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're always a little more ready for your jokes.
Well, yeah. Isn't that odd?
Yeah, that is
weird.
Isn't
that odd how I do that? Sorry about that. I mean, you know, it's just sometimes I don't know when your jokes are coming. I'm not always thinking, you know, I don't always know what's going on in your brain.
But they are so plentiful.
That's true.
They're so plentiful.
That's true. That is exactly right. Oklahoma State, number four.
Number four.
For SI. Basically, with Oklahoma State, they say everything that we'd think they would say. There's not that much with Oklahoma State here. But this was interesting for me. When they talk about Oklahoma State's defense, they say most teams have a weakness somewhere on the defensive line. They really don't. They say it's a tough conference, and there are so many great offenses, but they are one of the tougher defenses to play against and prepare for. Are you buying Okie State's defense?
I buy the disruptive nature of their defense. All right, last year, they were third in the Big 12 in scoring defense, 26.5 points a game. Some of that was turnovers. They were 10th in the country in turnover margin, which they will do. They will turn you over. They have really good playmaking ability. They have a veteran defensive line in years but not experience. Particularly inside, where they've got juniors and seniors on their depth chart that haven't started. Now, they're the guys that have played, but they've got all-conference-type guys in there. And then their linebackers can range and make play. Chad Wagner was unbelievable. He's been a two-year starter. He's unbelievable. They've got good safety play. A couple of seniors starting by there, Trey Flowers and Ramon Richards. And because they've got sort of stability, stable balance on their three levels, then they can make plays in any of those areas. It's still not a flashy group. They still give up some yards. And they were 92nd in the country in total defense, but again, a lot of that is who you're playing against, type of offenses. And it does say a lot that in the Big 12 last year, they finished 6th in run defense, 5th in pass defense, 6th in total defense, and They have Adrian Baker. Didn't Adrian Baker go on there to play?
Yep.
They've gotten like three or four grad transfers on the defensive side of the ball to help shore that up from other places around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be interested to see how they sort of integrate those pieces on that side of the ball.
One reason why their turnover margin was so good, Kwok, Mason Rudolph threw four picks. Four.
Tremendous.
And 28 touchdowns. And that's what they say about Rudolph. They say he's obviously explosive with really good receivers. And James Washington is tough to handle. He stands out.
Justice Hill and James Washington are incredible pieces. They return really, really good skill players, better skill players than any other team in that conference.
I'm going to be intrigued to see which ones of our panel at the kickoff next week are going to have Oklahoma State in their playoff. I'm going to be very intrigued to see that because Roy had Oklahoma State last year in his playoff.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a year too soon with that, I would say, with that prediction.
They're on my list. That schedule at points is daunting. They got to go to Texas and West Virginia back-to-back weeks. They play at Pittsburgh. Really, the fact that they play six road games is kind of intriguing, but they have TCU, Baylor, Oklahoma, Kansas State. They have them all at home.
And a texter gets in and says they will lose again in Morgantown.
Maybe.
It's possible.
Back-to-back road games going to West Virginia on the back half of that,
it's a very tough place.
That's not ideal.
And they go to Pitt early on.
And if they lose in Morgantown and win the rest, I hate to tell you, but that's going to the playoff, 11-1 with that schedule.
Oklahoma did it.
Yeah.
11-1. One more for you before we head to break.
Let's get one more.
Southern Cal, so good, so cool, so Cal.
So Cal. Yeah.
So they start with the defense. They say, Adoree Jackson was tremendous, but he's not there anymore. And when I watched the Rose Bowl, I thought what they needed was more players like him in the secondary. So this idea that some of their secondary guys have to step up, I think we would agree with that. And then when they say about Sam Darnold, he's excellent. He has a good arm. He's accurate. That's the biggest thing. Sometimes guys that have a good arm don't have the accuracy. The quarterback from UCLA that everybody talks about took a step backward last year. If Darnold doesn't take a step back, I would anticipate him dominating because they coach him pretty well on offense at Southern Cal.
One thing about USC that we haven't talked about is Adoree Jackson leaving. How do you replace him?
And
Juju Smith-Schuster. Particularly, though, I'm thinking Jackson on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jackson was, from a historical standpoint, he was basically in practice what we believed Jabril Peppers to be last year in terms of his playmaking ability on special teams. We had that discussion last season. If you think Jabril Peppers won the Heisman Trophy, why don't you think it's Adoree Jackson? Because you can make a very strong case, and in the same areas that the Peppers excelled, that Jackson excelled maybe to a higher degree. Replacing Jackson is not going to be easy for them. On defense or in the return game, Jackson was outstanding there. And particularly, like you said, Juju Smith-Schuster's gone. And they've got a couple of nice receivers coming back in terms of how they've done. They've recruited really well there, as per usual. They have Ronald Jones in the backfield. They have guys at every level of the defense that are studs. I think the Marshall kid's a really good cornerback. Cameron Smith, the linebacker, super player. Good pass rush from like Porter Gustin, Uchenna Nwosu. Those guys are really, really good players in Clancy Pendergast's scheme. Personnel's not going to be the issue. I do think trying to figure out, can they sustain what they did last year with expectations? I'll say it 100 times. I'll continue to say it. That's my only question mark about USC and maybe lack of proven depth at wide receiver.
Sure. And I don't really have question marks about Sam Darnold. To suggest that he could take a step back like Josh Rosen did, I don't really see how you can get that comparison. Why would you even compare him to Rosen?
I don't know. Maybe their prep backgrounds. I do think it's very interesting that Rosen was supposed to catapult forward.
Yeah, and he didn't.
And a lot of it was like offensive line, though.
But
USC
also
has returns at offensive line.
Darnold's not being saying ridiculous things in the media. And maybe he seems a little more focused.
Darnold wasn't pegged the starter the moment he got on campus like Rosen.
The savior.
There weren't the expectations.
Josh Rosen was the savior, right?
Exactly.
We'll get to Clemson next segment. They say some really interesting things about the Tigers.
Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds. You can get in on the phone, 654-ROAR. We'll take a phone call or two if we have time next.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Swinney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
Rely on EnviroMulch, supplying quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their summer special, get double ground hardwood mulch for just $20 per yard ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply. From your friends at EnviroMulch, go Tigers.
As a business, you want a clean facility for your customers, your staff, and your guests. Turn to the best in the industry, JanPro. You are hiring a company whose staff is certified, not just trained. They're insured and bonded, and they go through an intense 5-week certification program. They're local business owners growing the local economy, and they can do more than just cleaning. You'll be more than satisfied with the JanPro team on your team. You'll be amazed. Call JanPro today at 458-3053.
Yo, is this thing working, you know? I want to thank Ralph A's Toyota for having me here today. I was really flabbergasted to see all these used vehicles. I mean, there must be millions, you know?
Rock, I think there's over 150.
Well, I was close, you know. Hey, and these certified Toyotas are what you call amazing.
Hey, Rocky, was your last fight a tough one?
Hey, they're all tough, you know.
Do you think you have any brain damage?
Well, I don't know. I don't see any.
Hey, Rocky, is it true that you're going to have your next fight here at Ralph A's Toyota?
Well, I don't think so. You know, there's some pretty nice certified Toyotas here. I wouldn't want to mess them up, you know.
Hey, bad boy, why don't you fight a real man? We can fight right here, Ralph A's Toyota.
Hey, you should watch your mouth, you know.
Why don't you come close it?
Why don't you come up
here?
We'll find out, all right?
Paper champion. I'll whoop you now.
Hey, I'll get you out there.
No need to fight, boys. Just go to RalphHaysToyota.com and click on the e-price to get the best price. RalphHaysToyota.com.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. Pick up a box for your business or church meeting. Share them with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
When playing football for Coach Sweeney, I learned the value of hard work and doing things the right way. My name is John Wright, Jr., and now that I'm in the field of commercial real estate, I have the opportunity to apply those principles in my daily business. If you're in the market for buying, selling, or leasing property from office or retail to industrial or land, then let me know at McCoyWright.com. That's McCoyWright.com, where we will do our best to ensure your success. And remember, if it's not McCoy Wright, it's not right.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color. What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson. Your independent local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
Twitter feed for more sports news and less hashtags.
Hashtag intense.
Well, we said less, not none.
Get your point across in 140 characters or less.
Did you Twitter today?
At 105.5 The Roar.
There is no other to compare to you. You got me blinded, giving all I have to you. You sold me feeling, but I've never
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hour number three continues. 654-ROAR, if you'd like to get in on the college football discussion, 654-7627 on the Northern Communication phone lines. We're talking through the Sports Illustrated Top 10. There's scouting reports from anonymous coaches, which is, I mean, there's some pros and cons with this. I believe this is a fair exercise to go through. Certainly, you wouldn't get the candor if you made them say their names. Some of this can be just basically your daily sodium intake. Salty.
Salt.
Yeah, some of this could be just salt. Like the Saban stuff where people are like, he just shows up with his Jimmies and Joes and wins, and then people say he's a chess master. I'm not sure that's what people are saying, but I understand that.
The comparison of a gun to a musket. Like,
what they really
wanted to say was a tank to a slingshot.
Essentially, that's what
they wanted to say.
That is what it is. They use the artillery version of tank versus slingshot.
Right, right.
Bring a knife to a gunfight. That's what it is. Let's get a couple more of these if we can. We got trifecta coming up in our final segment as well. Wrap up the week with that.
All right. The number six team in this top 10 is Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
And what the anonymous coaches said, they have the best offensive line in our conference, and it's not even close. They're big, physical, and tough.
They do have a very good offensive line.
They always have.
That is true.
Yep. Baker Mayfield is emotional, but now he's more level-headed with his decisions. He throws the deep ball really well. He's perfect for what they do.
More level-headed?
Really?
I don't know. When he was a little more emotional and he'd get tackled into bricks by cops downtown. I know on-field and off-field are different, but I'm not sure if you could say that Baker Mayfield's mellowed out when that's a new development.
Yeah, I mean, he does have a lot of experience now. And he's never really going to mellow out. That's not his style, right?
Right.
He's never going to be, you know, like a Deshaun Watson mellow in that way. They say something interesting about Lincoln Riley. They say Lincoln Riley's different from other Mike Leach guys because he'll run the ball so much. Their counterplays and how they block you are different as well. I think that's true. Now, obviously, when you have Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon, of course you're going to run the ball. So we'll see how it looks this year without those guys.
Yeah, it's good to develop a rapport for being adaptable to your personnel. And I think that's who Lincoln Riley is. At ECU, guess what? They chucked it around like crazy. At Texas Tech, they chucked it around like crazy.
You chuck.
And remember, we talked about this last year. Why would you bring Lincoln Riley in when your two best skill players are running backs? Mm-hmm. Why would you bring him in? Well, egg on my face, because Lincoln Riley was able to adapt and mold the offense and take advantage of that running back situation. And they actually, offensively, were very good. In terms of rushing yardage, they were 18th in the country running the ball last year and led the Big 12 almost 44 points a game. So I think he did a pretty good job. And just saying.
So what they say about OU defensively is really interesting to me. They say Mike Stoops is way, like emphasis on the way. Mike Stoops is way too emotional as a play caller. That's what they say about him. His team gives up a big play and you know he's going to come after you and you can burn him again.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it is, but their defense has gotten worse since Venables left. No question.
They also say their secondary is really good. They gave up 270 passing yards last year, 111th in the country. I know they play in the Big 12, but would you say that OU's secondary is really good?
I would say OU's secondary is fine.
Okay.
They're fine.
I just thought that was an interesting way. I mean, to emphasize how good their secondary is. I was surprised to see that in the OU scouting report.
I mean, they finished 111th in pass defense last year. 111? I mean, maybe it is pass rush. Maybe they're not getting any pass rush and they can't. You know, they're making guys cover too long. I don't know. 111th in pass defense, though? I don't know if I'm going to go out tooting the horn of their secondary. Giving up. What did they give up last year? What is that? Almost 270 yards a game passing. And even in the Big 12, where all those numbers are skewed, they finished 8th out of 10 teams. Who was worse than them in pass defense?
Probably Iowa State.
Stand by for that.
And Kansas.
Kansas first in pass defense because they gave up all the rushing. You know, 237 yards rushing.
That's true.
Kansas State was worse pass defense. They were ninth. Who was last? West Virginia, Texas. Who we got? Let's see. Texas Tech. Oh, Texas Tech, clearly. Texas Tech, the worst
because
in humanity.
Because they let Baker Mayfield pass for 800 yards that one game.
Yeah, the worst in humanity. My Lord. Unbelievable. I mean, maybe they're going to be better this year. I'm not comfortable saying that. The 111. I mean, they go to 90th. Am I going to send them a bag of, like a box of cookies or something? Am I going to send them some donuts? They get to 90th in pass defense. Hey, bravo.
If you move up into the double digits in pass defense, that'd be a vast improvement.
They're so good. They finished better than one third of the nation. Most of the nation's MAC schools. Most of the group of five is worse than them on pass defense. That's great. Thanks for playing. That's kind of how I feel about that. Oklahoma's defense just not, it's just not something to write home about right now. And part of it is Stoops. He is not the play caller Brent Venables was. The grass was not greener on the other side of that.
Texter says, their recruiting has greatly improved since Riley arrived in Norman. They're developing the secondary last year. They were very young, no depth. And that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying their secondary is terrible, but for the scouting report to say they're really good in the secondary, that was just, that didn't seem to compute for me.
Catfish Brad says, Mayfield feels like he's been there for 12 years.
That's true.
My gosh.
It has been a while.
Ninth year sophomore. Unbelievable. Let's go to Orlando, who's up with us on the North of Communication phone lines. What's up, Orlando?
It's a beautiful Friday. What can I say?
You're doggone right it is.
Hey, it's a beautiful time of year. Business had me up in Clemson, which is rare, but probably be more frequent. I'll be riding through the land of Tigers on a regular basis. But I was thinking about the comments about Alabama. Man, let's just be honest. Alabama has been the measuring stick for college football for so long. I watched a documentary on Nick Saban and Alabama and just saw the way he ran practice, getting, you know, he could never almost touch the practice field. He could be on some elevated platform, sitting on a throne and watching practice. But he was actually down there coaching his defensive backs, touching them, I mean, really showing how he wanted to place their hips and go after the ball. I mean, when you're talking about hands on every cog in the wheel, that's just him. And if you want to change that, then you're just gonna have to beat Bama on a consistent basis. I mean, you just have to honor that greatness and say, you know, you're doing well as a program when you get a comparison to Bama and when you're trying to measure up to that. And until somebody consistently beats everybody for 10 years. Then that's what you don't have to live with. But that's not the real reason I called. I want to talk about the special memories that I have in right there in Tigertown. Just from today driving through the pause on the pavement. I remember this game when Peter Warwick came back. Woody Daniels was the quarterback. Now I'm so excited to be at this game with my friends. I'm on the 30-yard line, right at field level. I think Tommy let his dad win that game. Because they took the ball out of Woody Daniels' hands the last few series, and he was just gashing them, and they had nothing left. If you just kept giving them the ball, Clemson would have won that game. My favorite memory of that game, though, is the Clemson student section, all with the dealer's bags with hot helium balloons on those things, and the dealer's bags being released right at Peter Warwick. They had handcuffs. It was great. I mean, I've had some great memories in Clemson. Just from, you know, the Panthers' first year there, but Clemson's a special place. And a lot of people are wondering, the Carolina fans are, you know, about to choke themselves now, but I'm the Carolina boy who grew up to be a Clemson fan. Hey, Tiger Rag is a trombone solo. I play trombone. My dad's still wondering in heaven. How did my son become a Tiger fan? But anyway, y'all have a great day, man. It's a beautiful time of year.
Thank you, Orlando, and we couldn't agree more. We appreciate the phone call. That 1999 Bowden Bowl, I'm telling you, the Natty winning in two Final Four games, ACC championships. I have never been part of anything like Bowden Bowl One ever. It was a zoo. It was a circus. Like everything you want to say about a game. I remember the Dillard's bags. I remember the chants. I remember how packed and crowded. I mean, packed to the gills. Like, it took you an hour just to get to the concession stand back in the old West End Zone because there were people standing in the aisles. Like, nobody could move. 86,000. You'll never get 86,000 people in the stadium again. They did that night. They packed them in. Somebody knocked out the fire marshal. What a great day. Speaking of Clemson.
What a time.
What a time. Boy, you missed it. If you weren't here in 99 for Bowden Bowl One, you missed it. Sight to behold.
Let's get to Clemson, what these coaches say
about
Clemson. All right, they start off with this statement. What sticks out to me with Clemson is the number of dynamic playmakers they seem to recycle over time, which I think we would all agree with.
Sure.
They turn over receivers every year, and the next guy is every bit as good as the guy that they lost. Deion Kane will be the next guy. When I watch them, I don't sit there and say, boy, they've got all the answers and everything covered. A lot of times the players cover it more than the scheme does. What do you make of that?
Hmm.
the players cover it more than the scheme does.
I think it's a slap in the face. I don't disagree with it. I don't disagree with it. I don't. Right now, Clemson's not as cutting edge as they were 5 years ago. 5 years ago with Chad Morris, Clemson was cutting edge.
But also 5 years ago, I mean, you weren't winning national titles.
Here's the thing. Clemson's, especially offensively, their scheme is much more conventional now. Because of the, and I've talked to a number of people about this over the years, and the major difference in the Jeff Scott, Tony Elliott offense as opposed to the Chad Morris. Remember Chad Morris said, we want to try to hit eight big plays. We want to hit eight big plays a game. We want to hit two a quarter. This offense now prioritizes getting 10 yards every three downs. That's what they do. So they're not going to take unusual chances or outrageous chances or crazy risks. This is a much more traditional, conventional, conservative twist on the Chad Morris scheme. So, yeah, they look a little more normal. And it does look like the difference between them and somebody else running a more normal spread type, power spread, whatever it is you want to call their offense, the difference is the players. So from that standpoint, I understand it. Totally understand it. Now, I do think when you say that, And as I've said, Dabo Sweeney and Nick Saban, you could think of them in the same way. The reason they're better than everybody else is the players. But there is something uncommon about being able to bring this type of talent in, and you can't just minimize the impact that the coach has on sealing the deal with these recruits, the head coach.
Speaking of coaching, the anonymous scouting report continues. These guys are well-coached and very good fundamentally within what they do. There's a reason they've hung 75 points on Alabama in the last 2 years. It's that they have what we call multiples. They don't have one guy that has 90 catches and everybody else has 20. It's spread out. They also say Hunter Renfrow is fast and tough and runs good routes. Dexter Lawrence is dominant. You can see his explosion and get off. Up front, they don't ask those defensive linemen to do too much. They just go play.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah?
I agree with that, too. Now, I also think that the scheme, they go out and play, but the linebackers, particularly Ben Boyer the last couple years, has been very good at being a coach on the field, an extension of the coach on the field. So when you have that, a lot of times we can minimize the role that coaching those guys to be better coaches on the field has. You can minimize the impact that preparing Deshaun Watson to be a coach on the field has. Somebody's got to tell those guys what to do. Somebody's got to show those guys how to activate that skill set in their arsenal. You know? Yeah, they're extensions of coaches on the field, but the coaches have to train them to do that. It's kind of like when you train your, this sounds terrible, but like when you train a pet. Like when your pet just does things instinctively after you've trained them, you could say that pet's brilliant, but a lot of work went into training that pet, you know? Like understanding what's going on. Like when you're, dig an underground fence for your dog, let's say. Underground fence for your dog. You put a shock collar on them, they get shocked a couple times. Then all of a sudden you don't put the collar on, but they don't go past that spot. Well, to somebody who walks up, you know, right then, it just looks like the dog's smart enough to know, huh, you're just not supposed to go out on the road. That's a smart dog. Boy, their owner can just let them run free. Yeah, but you had to train them to know that you can't go out in the road. That's kind of how I feel about creating coaches on the field. Does that make sense? Good analogy right there?
I'm not going to partake in this pet analogy, but okay. I get what you're saying.
Fair enough.
I'm with you.
Whatever.
So I don't think we have enough time to finish with the top 10.
We probably don't.
But we got through Clemson. We got through the top 7. I thought there was some good stuff there.
Absolutely.
And the trifecta is going to be fun in the last segment.
Yes.
Yes.
Final segment coming up next.
The countdown is on. 22 days till Clemson Tiger football.
So second down and 15 for Troy. Ball pushed back to their own 41 on that left hash. Silver's in shotgun. Brings a man in motion from right to left. Takes a shotgun snap. Back to pass under some pressure. Throws and it's going to be intercepted. Intercepted by Dorian O'Daniel at the Troy 40.
Every thrilling minute.
On the flagship station for Clemson football.
WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Just like our national champion Clemson Tigers, John Deere and AgPro know a thing or two about leaving it all on the field. Their compact tractors feature legendary toughness, strength, and unrivaled durability. Right now, you can check out the entire John Deere lineup at AgPro. They even have special financing available, so it won't take a big bite out of your budget. Find the location nearest you or request a quote today at agproco.com.
Purple Haze, with new locations in Anderson and Clemson, has an amazing assortment of really cool stuff to create a unique experience. Body jewelry, glassware, and party favors, voted the Upstate's best piercing studio. There's nothing like the Purple Haze experience. Decorate with tapestries, incense, candles, and posters. Dress with purses, clothing, and backpacks. Feel the experience. Purple Haze, Tiger Boulevard, Clemson, across from Publix, and 3448 Cinema Avenue in Anderson, next to Dazzler's and behind Grady's. Purple Haze.
No matter where you're going, you'll see hundreds of convenience stores along your route. What sets Locomart in Clemson apart? Quality gasoline at awesome prices? Yes. Rewards to help you save even more money? Yes. But you'll also find a huge craft beer selection at Locomart that you wouldn't find at a normal convenience store. There's only one stop you need to make. Locomart on Old Greenville Highway and Highway 123. Proudly locally owned and operated. Marathon. Fueling the American spirit.
Zero Res's empowered water cleaner can be used on any surface. Start the school year off right by using zero harsh chemicals and leaving zero residue behind. August 1st through 11th, mention my name Mickey and get three rooms for $115 and book by August the 11th and get a free bottle of Zero Res's empowered water spot cleaner. Call 558-7300 or visit ZeroResGreenville.com for your appointment. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean. And don't forget to ask about their air duct cleaning special.
In life, finding quality in anything can sometimes be difficult. Custom Collision would like for you to know that there are still a few places out there where quality matters. You can rest assured that at Custom Collision, not only will you be impressed with the quality of the finished product, but you will experience the quality of service that is unmatched. From taking care of your rental to handling the insurance, Custom Collision is there for you. Custom Collision, when quality counts. 231-6900 or online at CustomCollisionInc.com.
Does your home have wall cracks, uneven floors, or doors and windows that are sticking? These are all signs that a foundation problem is stealing value from your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 475-1671. We know your home is your number one investment, and we can help protect it. Don't wait for a foundation problem to get worse. If you have sagging floors or cracks in your sheetrock, call Canty Foundation Specialist. 475-1671 or visit us at CantyFoundationSC.com.
Hey Tiger fans, don't miss your chance to see the defending national champions in Death Valley this year. Clemson Tiger football single game tickets for select games are now available for purchase on ClemsonTigers.com. Be sure and reserve your tickets today as availability is limited. The 2017 season features another great home schedule, and this is your chance to be part of the action. Log on to ClemsonTigers.com to purchase your tickets, and we'll see you in Memorial Stadium.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. And remember, raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Call Anderson and Spartanburg Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
It doesn't go with the outfit.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. 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 Met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of the program for the week. Out of Bounds. The final full week before our college football kickoff show, which it will be at Twin Peaks on Thursday, 5 to 8 p.m. It's going to be awesome.
Kanye might be there.
We got to figure out a good way to, like, because we're going to be the last live show before that. We gotta like, hit it. Hard on Thursday.
That's what we normally do.
Like the run up to it. It's got to be a special. It can't just be a little mamby pamby, little nonsense normal show. We got to do something crazy.
So you're telling me not one, not two, not three, not four, not five.
Come on, LeBron.
But 6 hours of radio for
six
us.
6 hours
on
of radio.
Six.
Mark the tape. 6 hours. Bingo. We'll get to Roger in a moment. This hour brought to you by Harry's.com. I guarantee I'll get that Harry shave before Thursday, before we go out in public. Before people see me, I always shave with Harry's. Because I'm not taking chances with inferior products. And I don't like paying more than I need to for things that are inferior. That just seems stupid. I don't know why anybody would do that. I don't know why you would go to the drugstore and pay more for an inferior product. That is just ridiculous. If you do that every day, I'm calling you out right now. That is dumb. In this economy, every dollar counts. Sure, it's a growing economy, but, you know, the markets are a bit unstable this week. The value of a dollar is still very high. Harry starts you with their starter set for free. Discover the shipping costs for the ergonomic razor handle, the five precision engineer blades, the lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel and travel blade cover. Go to harrys.com/OOB to get the deal right now. Once again, absolutely free. Discover the shipping costs like $3, $320, whatever, $325 or something. Get that free trial set at harrys.com/OOB. That's harrys.com/OOB. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
Have you seen on our Twitter poll, 53% say it's good news for Sammy that he was traded to the Rams?
Everyone hates Buffalo, yeah. Just as a place.
Go vote on that poll. At I'm not sure that's the role.
It's certainly great in his day-to-day life. I just don't know that it's great from a football standpoint.
I mean,
that he goes
the
to LA.
Rams.
I know.
The Rams.
At least it's not the Jeff Fisher Rams anymore.
That's true.
If it was Jeff Fisher, I'd say no. Definitely not. Let's take one more phone call before trifecta. Roger and Anderson up with us in this segment. What's up, Roger?
Hey, what's up, Qual?
What's happening, brother?
Hey, buddy. Well, I think it's good news for Sammy. And I have to say, in the Ezekiel Elliott situation, I think that they're lucky that they didn't have a video a la Ray Rice. He had been suspended for like 2 or 3 years.
Well, I mean,
Goofy Goodell, look, domestic violence is no joke. And they got to deal with it seriously. But I can't believe 6 games. That's unbelievable. That throws their whole season, the first third of it, just about into total limbo. And I've seen it. And they're playing the Cardinals. They're playing the Giants. They're playing the Broncos. They got to play the only real gimme game or easy game on the first six is the 49ers, which I think is and I think they got a bye too, so they're going to get the bye, and then they play the 49ers. But it's not going to be easy for them to recover from what I think is going to be 3-3, 2-4.
Don't we think this is going to get on appeal? I think it's likely that this gets reduced to 4 games. I feel like 4 games is going to be kind of the deal there.
But he's already said he's going to appeal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't know. None of this makes any sense. I know that they're trying to throw the hammer down on these things. I don't know. I've always been a thing where let the justice system play out and then let the process play out. And then deal with it real firmly after everything's come out, put all the facts on there, and then deal with it. But I just don't like. I think the Players Association has got to change something with the way that they're. I think punishments and player suspensions are going to be a major part of the next CBA, like in 2 years. Hey, can I say something about Deshaun and Trubisky?
Go ahead.
All right, what I've seen so far, and I can't wait for actual real games, and by real, I mean college games more than pro games, but I watched Deshaun play. He, to me, has a more clear path to be the starter, obviously, because Macho Man Savage is only – he's the only one in the way, Cole Savage or whatever his name is. So Trubisky has Glennon. Glennon's getting paid big bucks. Macho Man's not making that much, but the only problem with Deshaun is – he's got a coach who I honestly don't know. When it comes to offense and play calling and quarterback development, people think Bill O'Brien's a genius. Based on what? I don't think he knows whether to scramble a hamburger or barbecue an egg. I really don't. I think he's a complete goof because he has never developed a quarterback. All he did was he was caddying for Tom Brady for a year and a half. That's all he's ever done. What has he ever done? And I'm going to tell you, Qual, and I don't mean to throw this out there at the end of your show. I just couldn't get in earlier. I'm going to tell you, if I'm Houston, I know he never would because Dabo's got a much better job at Clemson than he would ever have at any NFL team or really anywhere else. But if I was Houston and Bill O'Brien went 8-8 this year and was not giving Deshaun the kind of, play calling and was holding him back and the development was not there and it was frustrating, Deshaun, and if it was obvious something needed to be done and Bill O'Brien – Bill O'Brien wasn't getting it done. First call I would make, I'd say $9-10 million, Dabo. Would you be interested? I'd make him turn me down. Because to me, Dabo Swinney
yikes
is at the point Jimmy Johnson was in 88-89. He's Dabo, I just think that highly of him that if I was Houston and I wanted to see where we could go as a franchise, I'd make him turn me down.
That's interesting, Roger. And unfortunately, we got to run. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. That's a really fun idea about bringing Dabo in instead of Bill O'Brien. I think O'Brien's going to do fine with Watson. I really do. I think he's going to be fine with Watson. But I agree that the track record may be overstated a bit with Bill O'Brien. It's the final segment of the week, ladies and gentlemen. And with that, Kelly Graham is going to tell us three things to remember as we head to one of the final weekends before college football. Ladies and gentlemen, trifecta.
She's a triple threat.
It's a thing. Google it.
Beauty.
Wow.
Brains.
You're a real asset to the team.
And loves sports.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
This triple threat is bringing you these three things.
If you think that's crazy, then you will flip your bean when you hear this.
It's time for the trifecta with Kelly Gramlich on Out of Bounds.
Everything I knew to be true just went out the window.
We are.
Ready? Action.
WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
All right, Quack, like you said, it's one of the last weekends before college football. And we have some college football bowl game projections.
Nice.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Three tiers of bowl games, of course. You have your college football playoff games, your selection committee bowl games, and then your other bowl games. So we'll start with the playoff. The projections here from CBS Sports, you have Alabama and Florida State playing in the Sugar Bowl. Number one, Alabama versus number four, Florida State. And then in your Rose Bowl, you have number two, Ohio State, and number three, Southern Cal. The winners meet in the national championship game in Atlanta. So that's your playoff right here. Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, Southern Cal. Nothing crazy in there.
Yeah, I can see that, certainly.
You could see it happening. Let's get to the selection committee bowl games, though, because this involves Clemson. In your Peach Bowl, you have Florida versus South Florida. Two at-large bids there on January 1st.
All right.
In your Fiesta Bowl on December 30th, also at-large bids, you have Wisconsin and Washington. That could be a fun one. In the Orange Bowl on December 30th in Miami, you have Clemson versus Penn State.
I like that.
That could be fun.
There's some pizzazz in that game for sure.
That could be really fun. See Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley take on that Clemson defense.
Mm-hmm. Give me that.
I would like
sign
to see
me up
that.
For that one.
That'd be fun. And always good for Clemson to go back to the Orange Bowl. We enjoy that. The Cotton Bowl, at large and an at large, would be Oklahoma State and LSU.
Yeah, the Les Miles Bowl. Give me some of that.
Les would be in attendance,
yeah,
I would assume.
Absolutely. Get him in the booth.
All right. And then what about some of these other bowl games, Quack? These are projections from CBS Sports. Your Outback Bowl would be Georgia and Nebraska.
Is that good enough for Georgia fans? Outback Bowl against Nebraska? They signed. Did they get rid of Mark Richt so they go to Outback Bowl?
Some shrimp on the bobby. Your Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, Auburn and Miami. That could be fun.
Okay.
You could end up having a Georgia-Miami bowl game, which would be really fun.
Mark Richt against Auburn. I'm saying no love lost there.
No.
I'm sure.
Tax Slayer Bowl, Tennessee and Virginia Tech. Basically a rematch of the battle in Bristol.
Maybe Virginia Tech can handle a snap this game instead of fumbling 64 times.
Maybe. Liberty Bowl, Arkansas and Kansas State.
Okay.
Maybe send Bill Snyder out on top.
Nice.
Belk Bowl, Mississippi State and Georgia Tech.
Slightly different than the last time those teams played.
Little bit.
In the Orange Bowl.
That's right. Sun Bowl, Utah and Pittsburgh.
Boy, nice. You know, throw out the record books and Utah and Pittsburgh get together in El Paso.
Well, the Sun Bowl is where top 10 draft picks play. Or choose not to play.
Solomon Thomas.
McCaffrey and Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Military Bowl, Navy and NC State. I guess this guy isn't too high on NC State.
Well.
Doesn't have NC State in his playoff.
I'm not either, so.
And we're all shocked to hear that.
Yeah, right. Well, you got some good ones in here.
I know. This would be great bowl season.
Oh, yeah.
This would be a fun one. I would watch this one. The Camping World Bowl.
This is too much.
In Orlando. Texas and Louisville.
The Charlie Strong Bowl.
The Charlie Strong Bowl.
Oh, my. Is Charlie Strong coming to this?
I mean, is Texas making
a
bowl?
Get ready for his little bowl. I don't know.
That'd be fun.
Camping World.
This guy obviously is a little lower on OU. Kind of how I'm thinking. The Alamo Bowl, Oklahoma and Stanford.
That's still a great bowl. Like, that's still, it's you would think both teams in the top 20. Both teams in the top 20.
It's a good bowl.
Yeah.
Holiday Bowl, Michigan, Oregon. Mm. They have Oregon in the Holiday Bowl?
I don't know. That's you don't just pick up the pieces if you're Oregon and get back to there.
Foster Farms Bowl, Minnesota and UCLA. So they have UCLA winning six games at least.
Okay. All right. Row the boat down to Santa Clara.
The Cactus Bowl, West Virginia and Washington State. That'd be fun. That'd be a good matchup.
I guess so. Post-Christmas.
And then this guy has Michigan State getting back to a bowl game in the Armed Forces Bowl with Michigan State and Army.
I like it. Indiana Old Dominion. Sign me up for that in a Quick Lane Bowl.
That would be a great bowl season.
Quickly tell us about Local Q.
I'm in for all of that. And that trifecta was brought to you by Local Q. When bowl season finally does come, you have to watch it there at Local Q. Tons of great food, tons of fun games, ping pong, cornhole, the works. Full bar, 20.